Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The Washington Post has a piece as of today. Headline reads, "Where the Real Fight Over Abortion Will Take Place," assuming that Roe v. Wade is overturned. National Public Radio has a similar piece talking about abortion rights advocates preparing for life after Roe v. Wade and saying it's going to be a long, multi-front fight. Is that true of the pro-life forces as well? There's definitely going to be a post-Roe political battleground if Roe is eventually in our rearview mirror. What will it look like? What kind of preparations have already been made in several states to anticipate Roe v. Wade's overturning, both in favor and against abortion? Carol Tobias joins us on this Thursday afternoon. She's president of National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C. Carol, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Dad.
So, assuming that Roe v. Wade is overturned, the big story that most of the media is covering is what advocates of abortion are doing to prepare for that, and they're anticipating a long and multi-front fight. Those are the words of National Public Radio. Is the same true for the pro-life forces?
Unfortunately, yes. We have, if Roe is overturned, that's not going to make abortion illegal. That's what, you know, during this upcoming confirmation battle for Judge Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, you are going to hear abortion will be illegal. Actually, what it means, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, the most likely scenario will be 50 states then need to decide what the law is going to be within their state. And we will also have Congress still working on laws. So I would say there are going to be 51 battlegrounds as to whether or not we can protect unborn babies.
I was surprised to read in the Washington Post piece that there are four states that currently have what they call trigger laws in place that would automatically outlaw abortion if Roe were rescinded. Have you heard anything about that?
I know that they are currently on the books. You know, they can't protect unborn babies right now, but if Roe is overturned, the law is written so that it would say once Roe is overturned and we have, as a state, have the right to make our own decisions, this is what our law is going to be, and they do protect babies. Unfortunately, there are some states that have just the opposite kind of law that, you know, they're pushing to, or they have something on the books already that would say if a Roe is overturned, then our state is still going to allow abortion to occur.
What do you make of those who are fearful of Roe's overturning and are calling this anti-democratic?
We have been able to pass a lot of pro-life legislation in state legislatures with people elected by the voters to determine what the laws are going to be. Our problem has always been the judicial system, where you've got federal court judges who decide they're going to set the policy, which was, you know, the case back in 73 with Roe v. Wade. So we're going to have a battle, but we have the groundwork already in place. You know, we're electing pro-life legislators. We can pass laws. Our problem has been the court. So if we can get them kind of out of the way, not that things are ever going to be easy, but it can be done.
In your estimation, which of the 50 states is the strongest in terms of the laws already in place or the potential for laws that would mitigate abortion within its boundaries?
That's really hard because, quite frankly, there are so many of them that it would be great to start, you know, listing them off, but I think I would have to go up to 15, 20 states that I think we could easily and quickly see abortion prevented or greatly restricted.
What's on the other side of the coin? Which states have already anticipated Roe's overturning and have put things in place where, or and will be most hostile to pro-life legislation?
There, I would say we have to look at the coast. The West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington, New York. You know, some New England states are a little tougher, but that's kind of a mixed bag. Hawaii, we know that there are some who are going to immediately say abortion will be allowed here with no limits or very, very few limits. But we're going to see a lot of states immediately stop abortion, at least in most cases. We will see a few states that are going to say abortion is unrestricted here. And then there will be several states where it's really going to be a tough battleground, and it may go, you know, back and forth, or they may, you know, try to place limits on abortion, but they may not be able to do it all at once. This is going to be a long, protracted, drawn-out battle. So we can get excited that we think Roe is going to be overturned, but we can't think that that means the battle is over.
At the state level, do you think the pro-life legislators and governors are ready for this?
Many of them are. Some of them are voting pro-life because they know, you know, the law may or may not be that effective, depending on what a court judge is going to do. But I have seen in the last few years where pro-life legislators are getting more firm, more committed, more convicted that this is the right thing to do, that we should not be killing babies in the way we have been. And they're willing to step up to the plate, and they will fight with us.
In a related issue, do you think that the overturning of Roe v. Wade will give more impetus to the move to defund Planned Parenthood federally?
Oh, I think if Roe is overturned, we'll start to see a lot of different things happen. I hope that we can defund Planned Parenthood before that decision. You know, if Roe is overturned or when it's overturned, I want to get rid of funding for Planned Parenthood before that. So I hadn't really even thought about connecting them, because I think we can do the Planned Parenthood defunding quicker than overturning Roe.
Which kind of laws are probably the best to begin with? You were doing kind of a starter kit for state legislatures, and they're of the mind to begin restriction on abortion. Which kinds of laws give you the best guarantee of success in legislatures?
There are going to be a lot of battles. There may be some compromises in some places, depending on, you know, where you can get the votes. I would start off with abortion not being allowed unless the mother's life is in danger, and then start from there and, you know, not give up ground very easily. In some states, in order to do anything, that, you know, those some exceptions may have to happen. But I would certainly start out with the strong position of no abortion, and then see where it goes from there.
Finally, what do you think about the future of the pro-life movement? It has largely been animated the last four decades plus by the existence of Roe v. Wade. Do you think it's going to adjust to an America where, at least for the time being, Roe doesn't exist?
More and more, I keep comparing the pro-life movement to the abolitionist movement. Back in the early 1800s, Black people were not considered human beings. They could be bought and sold. And we look back at that time in history now and think, you know, how could anyone have supported slavery? I think in a few years, well, it's probably going to be more than a few years, but we are going to have that same kind of reaction when we look back at abortion and wonder how we could have treated unborn babies as property, as just a blob of tissue that has absolutely no value. I think we're going to get to that point, but the pro-life movement is going to have to work hard to make people see that there actually is a comparison and that every human life has to be valued and protected.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to National Right to Life under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Carol, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thank you, Todd.
In the last 10 minutes of Issues Etc., we're going to spend some time with constitutional law attorney David French of National Review. We're going to be talking about the judicial philosophy of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Recently, David has written in the Washington Post that the appointment itself was perhaps a missed opportunity. We'll find out what he means by that after this.
Lutherans for Life is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During July, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Lutherans for Life. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
As you head to the beach this summer, why not skip the trashy paperbacks and stick a few copies of the Lutheran Witness in your tote instead? With insightful articles from some of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's most compelling voices, the Lutheran Witness magazine makes for great reading at the beach, on the front porch, or wherever. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues, Etc. comment line.
Yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues, Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.